Well, we want to continue today with our look at the book of Galatians in a series in which we're calling Christ versus religion. And I want to start today with Galatians 2:16. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No flesh can be justified in his sight by the works of the law. We have done a lot of sharing in the past few years on coming out of condemnation or getting loose from all those thoughts that we are not worthy or we are not acceptable to come to God just as we are. Now, we know that's a lie. Yet, it seems, until you can fully understand that the scriptures here, when it's talking about that no flesh can be justified in the sight of God through the works of the law, this is talking about a natural man living in a carnal mind, perhaps even a religious mind, yet he is living from the realm of the natural and not the spiritual. The man who is living from his natural understanding, no matter how much he loves God, no matter how many good works he performs, the man who is living from the human perspective cannot and never will please God, because it's impossible by the works of the law for you to be justified in his sight. What we've been sharing over the years is that we need a change in our perspective, in our perception of who we are. Because as long as we are living as a human being, thinking that we are but human beings, we will always, once we have the quickening by God's Spirit, once we're born again, once we're regenerated, unless we have a full revelation, unless we have an understanding that there is a change in our identity when we're regenerated. Because the natural man, and by the way, when you are born again or regenerated, is only the beginning point in your awareness of God within you. And so we need to concentrate and focus on that new awareness that's been brought forth within us. Instead, we tend to focus on the flesh, and because we've been quickened and regenerated by the Spirit, we want to please God. And you see, the moment that we get in the perception that we must please God, we do not yet have the realization that we are pleasing to God because we are His Son. So instead of focusing on our flesh and trying to make ourselves better and more acceptable to God, the revelation, the understanding that God has brought to us in these days is that we have always been His Son. He has never been upset with us, but He has continually been reaching out and unveiling us to the reality of His unconditional love and acceptance because we are His Son. We were created in Him even before the foundation of the world, and was given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want to read once again 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Speaking of Jesus, verse 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel." You see, in plain, understandable English, that verse is telling us that even before the foundation of the world, we have been given everything that we need in Christ Jesus for this journey that we have taken in this physical realm. But coming into this physical realm, we have lost awareness of being a son of God. We have lost awareness of being with him in the beginning. And we've been lost in this physical identity, thinking that there is something that we must do to please God. Or thinking that if there are certain things we don't do, we will displease God. But you see, the truth of these verses is very plain, that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You see? Because when you are trying to be justified by the works of the law, you're trying to bring your human, carnal nature into subjection unto God, and that's utterly impossible. Yet when we have a revelation, an understanding, an unveiling of Christ in us, we cannot do anything but please God, because that is our nature. So what Paul is talking about here in Galatians, what he's trying to explain to them in Galatians, is that they don't need to try to be justified by the works of the law. In fact, when you try to be justified by what you do, rather than by who you are, because see, when you realize who you are, there's no need for justification because you're a son of God. But when you're living from the natural, carnal, physical realm, and you're trying to please God, it is impossible, because the flesh cannot and will not please God. So Paul says in Romans chapter 3, and starting at verse 19, "We know that what things the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." You see, that's what the law does. The law makes everyone guilty. So the law has done what it was supposed to do. The law, when you try to keep the law by carnal means and methods, by study, by practice, whatever, when you try to keep the law out of a natural understanding, you will always bring guilt and condemnation on yourself, because that's what the law does. See, the law makes everyone guilty before Christ, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So again, he says, "We know that what things the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wow, we need to go back and take a little closer look at these verses. You know, it's the most wonderful thing to have that revelation of being a son of God. Because it takes all that striving, all that struggling, all that guilty feelings of not being able to measure up. And you realize that's why the law was given. That all flesh might become guilty before God, so that you might realize that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But then the righteousness of God without the law. Well, what is that? What is the righteousness of God without the law? It's having that revelation, that understanding that you are a son of God. You are a manifestation of your Father in the flesh. And when you have that understanding, when God by His Spirit reveals to you that you are already justified in His sight, you see, we are justified by the faith of Christ. Well, what is that? The faith of Jesus Christ. Well, it's the same faith that He had. You see, Jesus lived the life He lived. He did what He did because He knew that He was a son. He knew that He was God's son. And you see, we have forgotten that. We haven't known that. We have thought we were merely human beings born again, trying to do the best we can to feel more acceptable and more justified in His sight by our performance rather than by the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, it's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we are justified in God's sight. That's why He died. But now, again, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is simply the expression of God. And that is why we are here in this physical realm, to express the glory of God to His creation. And see, all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of being able to express God in this flesh. But thank God, it's not by the works of the law. It's the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ upon all and to all them that believe. You see, if you can just simply believe the words of Scripture, the Scriptures clearly reveal that you are justified not by what you do, but by what He has done. And you see, that's why no matter how caught up in wrongdoing you are, no matter how far you've fallen from being able to express God in your flesh, all you have to do is believe that you are justified not by what you do, but by what Jesus has done. And you are justified because you are a son. And when you begin to have the faith of Jesus Christ, it simply means that the same faith that He had is now operating in you. And you don't have to try to justify yourself. You realize that you are justified. You realize that you have come into this physical realm and you have forgotten your true nature, your true identity. You have forgotten your true being. And you have picked up this human identity that is separated and alienated from God. And there is no way that you can take that identity and work it up, study, do all the religious activity. There is nothing you can do to make that flesh man feel justified before God, because the flesh man is condemned. You see, the flesh man in actuality was crucified with Christ. And when you realize that the old man, the old nature, that old human identity of yours is on the cross. Hallelujah. Then you begin to live by the faith of Jesus Christ, and you are released from the guilt and the condemnation of trying to be something that you already are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. You see, you cannot find any mortal man, anywhere today, who has not come short of the glory and the expression of God. Because you see, any time that you're acting out of your human identity, anytime you're operating as a carnal man, you have fallen short of the glory of God. Wow. So, all of us have sinned. Again, and sin is just falling short of expressing the glory of God, which is expressing the life of God in these temples of God, in our body temple. You see, that's all sin is. One explanation of sin, of course, is missing the mark. We all have missed the mark of being able to express God in this realm, in this fleshy realm. You know, I have talked so much over the years about Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 became one of the most magnificent and glorious understandings to me. But for years, Romans chapter 7 was a great mystery to me. And I lived in that realm of Romans chapter 7 for many, many years, trapped in this consciousness of being human, trying to please God. So let's go back and take just one more look at Romans chapter 7 again, and look at it as Paul talking about, he's talking about you, but he's talking about the two men, the two seeds, the two expressions that I talk so much about in Romans chapter 7. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now that is a scripture that reveals to us that the law is a spiritual thing. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Well, what does Paul mean when he says the law is spiritual? The law is spiritual because the law is not something that we try to keep. When you have a understanding of the true spiritual law, you realize that it is not by performance, but it is something that emanates from your very being. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here because that's not what Paul's talking about in this verse. He says, I know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. See, that was my identity for many years. I knew the law was wonderful. In fact, Paul said, I delight in the law of God in the inner man. But he says, that which I do, I allow not. But what I would do, I don't do. And what I hate is what I'm doing. I can't tell you how many years I lived there. Delighting in the law of God in my inward man, yet finding that what I wanted to do, I didn't do, and what I didn't want to do, I was always doing. I know I've shared so many times before that I was trapped in this consciousness for 13 years. I would pray, I would seek God, but yet, I was still doing that which I didn't want to do. And I so delighted in God. But see, that's the dilemma we're in here. That Paul says, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Well, if I do that which I wouldn't do, he says in Romans 7:16, I consent to the law of God that it is good. Now then, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. I'll never forget when I first had a revelation of that verse. It is no longer I, but it is the sin that dwells within me. You see, if you delight in the law of God, if you have the love of God in your heart, if you find yourself in that consciousness of Romans chapter 7, doing those things that you know you shouldn't do, and not doing those things that you want to do, then you can understand this verse. But you see, what I missed for many years reading Romans chapter 7 is the simple statement Paul made. He said, if you're doing that you don't want to do, it is not you that is doing it, but it is the sin that dwells in you. Because when I would do good, Paul says, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. How many of God's precious people today live under that? I can't tell you how many times I would wake up in the morning and I would say, God, help me not to do that today. And you know, my heart was crying out for righteousness. And I realized that I was carnal. And I would read where Paul says the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. But see, I was trapped. I didn't know how to be spiritual. All I knew to do was to try to be spiritual. All I knew to do was to make resolutions and to cry. And I did cry and beg and for 13 years to no avail. Because there was things in my life, things that I didn't want to do, but I did. And no matter how much I wanted to please and serve God, the things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And when I would do good, I found that law in me that would bring me down into the law of sin and death. So I understand what Paul meant when he said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. But then one day, I began to have an understanding that I am carnal was the wrong identity. Because you see, later on in Paul's ministry, he said, it is no longer I, but it's Christ. You see, and that's why I stress so much that we must have a change in our identity. We must not focus on what we are in the carnal, but we must focus on who we are in the spirit. Because the law is spiritual. And until you have an unveiling, a revealing that you also are spiritual, you will always be trapped in that carnal man trying to overcome in the flesh. And I know the Bible talks so much, especially in the book of Revelation, about he that overcomes. And so I would read those verses in Revelation and, oh my, how I wanted to be an overcomer. I wanted so desperately to be an overcomer. But yet I was still in that consciousness of Romans chapter 7, of being a carnal man, sold under sin, not being able to live a spiritual life. Thank God for what he's bringing forth these days to our awareness. No longer am I held captive by the law of sin and death. No longer do I delight in the law of God and then go out and not be able to do what I want to do. Because there has been a change in my perception. There has been a change in my awareness. There has been a change in my identity. And I realize that no matter how good I would try to become in the flesh, or no matter how good I would become in the flesh, I am still not expressing who he is. You see, it's not a matter of being good. It's a matter of having a change in our perspective, a change in our awareness, a change in our identity. To where we focus not on the old man, not on the carnal man, but on the new man. And that's why Paul said so beautifully, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, you see, for many years, I was regenerated, born again, filled with the Spirit, but not realizing that I was in Christ. Oh, I knew Christ was in me. At least I knew it mentally. I didn't know it experientially. I knew it mentally. And I shouldn't say I didn't know it at all experientially, because I did. You know, I knew that when I was regenerated that there was a new life, a new quickening, a new awareness, a new consciousness that was birthed within me. You see, and that's why Peter says that, he says, desire the pure milk of the word as newborn babes. Desire the pure milk of the word, the nourishment of the word. Well, for many years, I never got the real nourishment in the word. Because of my natural understanding, most of what I got out of the word was guilt and condemnation, because I wasn't able to live up to the word. Paul says, I, through the law, in Galatians 2:19, I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live to God. Well, what does it mean to be dead to the law? For I am dead to the law. I am dead to the law. What does that mean? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. You see, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, it's not I, but it's the sin that dwells within me. But here he said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. It is so simple and so plain here that we need to change the perception of who we are. And I realize we can't do that without a revelation from God. But you see, you can't get a revelation from God by studying the Bible. You can't get a revelation from God, and you may get a revelation by studying the Bible. I have many times. But by studying the Bible will not necessarily give you anything except a carnal understanding of the Word. And that's why we have such a mess in this world of different groups and denominations and divisions and strife and envy and debate because of man's carnal understanding of the Word. So what we need so desperately is a change in our perception of ourselves, to realize that we were created in God even before the foundation of the world. Even before the foundation of the world, we were created in Christ. We were with Him. We were created His Son. We are His Son. We have always been His Son. We have just taken on this mistaken identity by being birthed into this carnal realm and not understanding who we are. And that's why Paul wrote this book of Galatians. It is so clear in Galatians that Paul is revealing the two seeds, the natural and the spiritual. You see, the natural man is sold under sin. He's separated. He's alienated from God. Yes, he may be regenerated. He may be born again. He may even be filled with the Spirit. He may speak in tongues and operate from the gifts of the Spirit and still be in his awareness and consciousness, still be alienated and still operate as a natural man. And again, that's why the book of Galatians was written. Because the churches of Galatia were going back to the Jewish religious practices. And Paul said, look, no matter what you do to be justified before God, you have fallen from grace. Well, why is that? Because grace is what gives you the ability to walk in His nature. Grace gives you the expression of His life and His being. Grace brings you the awareness. Oh, we have admired Jesus for so many years, as we should. We have looked at Him as the epitome, as the full expression of God in a physical form, as we should. But we're beginning to realize by the grace of God that as He is, so are we in this world. Oh, when I think of the difference. When I was able to change my perspective of being a carnal man sold under the law of sin and death, struggling every day of my life to be more like Him. When I had a shift in consciousness, when I had a change in my perception of myself, when God, by His grace and His mercy, revealed His Son in me, when God spoke to me and said, I have never left you nor forsaken you. I have never looked at you as fallen. I have never looked at you with anything but unconditional love and acceptance. Because I realize that you have fallen in your perception. You have fallen in this physical realm, not realizing your true nature and identity. But you see, I have never forgot that. And I have always looked at you as a son. And I have nourished you. I have loved you. I have fed you until you're able to stand in my likeness, until you're able to rise up within yourself, my spirit within you, to express my loveliness and my unconditional love to the world. Oh, don't you see how God's people everywhere, how we all need more of a understanding, more of an awareness of his life in us. And that's what Paul is revealing to us in the book of Galatians. Quit struggling with the natural man. Now, even as I say that, I know it's impossible for you. If you're living in a life of separation and doing things that you don't want to do, I know you're not going to quit struggling. Because for 13 years, I struggled trying to be godlike, trying to be a good Christian. So I would not say that you need to give that up. But when you struggle and you fail, the key is to understand that you are not justified by the works of the law. You are not justified by your performance, whether it's good or bad. But you are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. That Calvary is the greatest picture that God could give to us of not condemning us because we're lost in this mistaken identity. And we may have done a lot of things that are wrong. We may still be doing a lot of things that are wrong, but our justification does not come from us changing those things that are wrong and making them right. Because, you see, if you make everything in your life right, you may feel good about yourself, you may have a better self-image of yourself, but no matter how good you are, you cannot express what God is. The only way you can ever walk as an expression of God on this earth is to have a change in your perception of yourself. And again, I say, no matter how many times, how many days, months, or years you struggle, never, ever be condemned when you can't make it. Because the flesh is not intended to make it. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Again in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live to God. You see, the only way that we'll ever be able to live as an expression of God is to be dead to the law. Well, how are we dead to the law again? We are dead to the law by not trying to measure ourselves by the law. You see, when you quit measuring yourself by the works of the law, then you are dead to the law. And once you become dead to the law, then you begin to live from that spiritual being that you are. No longer are you measuring yourself by what you do or what you don't do. You are simply realizing that it is God who justifies me. I'll never forget the first time I read, I can't even tell you where it's at right now, where Paul said that God justifies the ungodly. Oh, when I first saw that, I don't know how many people realize or had this realization that I had, but I always felt that, you know, I loved God, I wanted to serve God, but I always felt so ungodly. And when I read that Paul said that God justifies the ungodly, when that realization, you know, not just those literal words in my mind, but when I had that realization that God justifies the ungodly, I cannot tell you the release that came to me. And I thought, well, if God justifies the ungodly, then why do I have to worry? Because I didn't know if there was anybody any more ungodly, at least the way I felt. And when I realized that God justified the ungodly, because again, God knows your true nature and being. And he provided a lamb. Jesus came and died on a cross to give us a point of focus that we can look at him on that cross and realize that God is not angry. God was never angry with us. God came, let himself be crucified to reveal to us his love for his creation. So Paul says in verse 20 of Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what a revelation. You see, in Romans 7, it's no longer I, Paul said, but it's the sin. But here he says, it's no longer I, but Christ. That's why I say that there are only two seeds, two men, two consciousnesses on this earth. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. So there's two identities. It is not I, but Christ, or it is not I, but sin. And those represent two types of consciousnesses in us. You see, for years I lived in this awareness, this perception that it is not I, but it's the sin that dwells within me. Well, when I realized this brought me, it released me from the guilt and the condemnation, but it didn't release me from doing the things that I didn't want to do. It did give me a understanding that there was something operating in me that really wasn't me. Paul said, it's not I, but it's the sin that dwells within me, so that when I would do good, evil is present with me, always bringing me in captivity to sin and death. But then Paul says here in Galatians 2 that it's no longer I, but it's Christ. So all we have done is had a change again in our perception of who we are. We can either realize it's not I, but it's sin, or we can realize it's not I, but Christ. And when you realize it's not you, but it's Christ, not just in a mental understanding. And that's why I say we need to spend time in meditation. We need to spend time in prayer and time in openness, listening for God to speak. Because when we have that change in our perception, then it's no longer I but Christ. And when you realize it isn't you, how could a human being ever live as Christ on this earth? How could a human being ever express the loveliness of God? It can't be you. It has to be Christ. So you realize it's no longer I, but it's Christ. And then you begin to have this beautiful substance formed in you. You begin to have a complete change in your mind and in your awareness. You begin to experience what Paul said when he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you begin to have such an awareness and such a substance formed in you. And you begin to love the unlovely. You begin to have an understanding that all men are lost in this mistaken identity. And all of them are doing what they're doing because they don't understand who they are. And then you are able to express Christ on this earth. Because within you, there is no pointing of the finger. Within you, there is no guilt or condemnation. You see, when you get rid of all the guilt and the condemnation out of your life, then you will not see it in anyone else. And God gives you such a heart of compassion and such a heart of understanding. And you truly begin to operate from the heart in the realm of spirit. You truly have a yearning. I know, as Paul said, that all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But we can be that to them today. Not in the fullness. But you see, where most of us are still living in the in-part realm. I don't have the fullness of His expression yet formed in me. Oh, but there is a great part. There is such a wonderful expression that is being formed in me. Oh, how I look forward to the day when this mortal shall be swallowed up in His life. I look forward to the day when this corruptible puts on incorruptibility. And you see, folks, that's what we're doing today. Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new. Oh my, how I struggled with that verse. I used to say, I'd love to, but how can I do that? Well, you can't. But it's no longer I, it's Christ. And when Christ begins to arise in you, you find that old way of thinking, you find that old guilt and condemnation, you find that all that judgment you had toward others for what they did or how they believe just falls at your feet. And all you have is a desire that every man should have the expression of God come forth within them. Yet you know that by them struggling in the flesh, by them trying to do good, by them trying to abstain from evil, is just a sign that they yet have not yet had the revelation of Christ in them. I had the revelation of Christ in me for, not revelation, I had the intellectual knowledge of Christ in me for many years. But oh, when that information gets in your spirit, it brings transformation. You see, just information without transformation doesn't mean very much. But thank God today, we are walking in the realm of spirit. And I'm so thankful that Paul wrote the book of Galatians. Because, you know, a lot of people today seem to think that the scriptures are just kindergarten stuff, you know, that, well, once you understand that you have Jesus in you, you don't need the scriptures anymore. But I'll tell you, folks, I live my life through the revelation that comes to me through the scriptures. God has been so good and so faithful to leave us the records of spiritual men who can help us in our understanding. Well, Paul says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You understand that? If righteousness comes by your performance, then Christ died in vain. If righteousness is by the law, if righteousness is by your ability to live righteously, then Christ is dead in vain. He didn't need to go to the cross. But because righteousness cannot be obtained through the flesh, through performance, through natural understanding, We can live by the faith of Christ by realizing that's why the cross. The cross is a never-ending statement of God saying, not guilty. You are not guilty. You are not guilty. So we can look at the cross and know that we're not justified by the works of the law. We're not justified by being able to live godly. We are justified by the faith of Christ. I've spoken a lot in years past on righteousness. But you see, righteousness is imputed to you. It's given to you. You are just as righteous today as you'll ever be in the sight of God. And once you see that, then the guilt and the condemnation and the feeling of failure of not being able to meet God's expectations will fall at your feet. And you'll realize that whatever God would have you do, He will provide you with all that you need to do it without exception. What a wonderful day we are living in. I am so excited when I see people all over the United States who are beginning to be set free from a consciousness of guilt and shame because they can't measure up to God. Oh, what a relief it is when you realize that you have been justified. And you can never be justified by the works of the law. The only way you can be justified is to have an understanding that you are already justified. That you are not that man of flesh. You are not just a human being living as good as you can. No. But you are a son of God on this earth. And even before the foundation of the world, God has given to you all things in Christ. We come into this realm fully equipped as a son of God. Already justified, already set free. Yet, we haven't known it until recent years. At least, I haven't known it until recent years. That God had already justified me, had already set me free. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. The law has done its job, at least in my life. The law made me realize that there's no way that I could keep this law, for I was carnal, sold under sin. But when I realized that I was not carnal, I was spiritual. I am a son of God. I have been born again. I am that new creation that Paul talks about. Again, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. So let us focus on the new creation. Let us meditate on the new man. Because whatever you focus on, whatever you meditate on, whatever you think about, whatever you speak about will bring into manifestation that very thing. So the more you think about your failure, the more you think about your inabilities, the more you try to struggle under the law, the more struggle you will draw unto yourself. So focus on the new man. I'll never forget when I first began to do that, I thought, this is impossible. But yet the more I thought about it, the more I meditated on it, the more I sat in the quiet listening for God to speak, I began to hear Him say things like I'm sharing with you. That I can never be any more righteous than I am. Because He doesn't look at our failures. He looks at who we are, and He has never forgot that. And He will continually bless you and minister to you until all of us awake in His likeness. And oh, what a day that will be. Hallelujah.
I'll take you back.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
Yes, I'll take